Let us pray. Lord God, send your Holy Spirit into this place and into each of us so that we might hear what you have to say to us today and change our hearts, our minds, our attitudes, so that we might live in faith and with faith when we leave. In the name of Christ we pray, amen. Our scripture this morning comes from Psalm 78, verses 1 through 8, and I'll be reading this morning from the New Living Translation. Hear now the word of God. O my people, listen to my instructions. Open your ears to what I'm saying, for I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past, stories we have heard and known, stories our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. For he issued his laws to Jacob. He gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children, so the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born, and they in turn will teach their own children. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. Then they will not be like their ancestors, stubborn, rebellious, and unfaithful, refusing to give their hearts to God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. As you know, as we've said it multiple times, as you got an email the other day and you saw it on our coming up Kingswood email, today is Commitment Sunday as we conclude our stewardship campaign with the theme Stewardship, a Way of Life at Kingswood. Several weeks ago, Barbara and Norman Petty talked about their stewardship journey from the past. And last week, Greg and Christina Scherer talked about their stewardship in the present and what that looks like. And we just heard about, with Tim, talking about his and Mary Beth's stewardship for the future. We hear those things. And so we talk about stories. That's what we're talking about. The scripture is about telling stories. Stories are important when it comes to our faith journey. Stories of God working in our life. Yesterday, I was here early working on my sermon. I needed a little more inspiration, a little more caffeine. So I do like I sometimes do. I put in my earbuds, turned on a podcast, and went to a local coffee place. The person being interviewed was a professional golfer by the name of Michael Breed. People who maybe have been, who tend to spend some time in their meditation watching the Golf Channel, they might know Michael Breed. He's a professional golfer. He's a professional teacher. That's the way he has made his living. I became fond of him when I learned that he had been an assistant pro at the Augusta National. I said, well, he can't be all bad. And so then he went on the Golf Channel. He's now left the Golf Channel. He has some SM radio. He has a show on it. He has some other things. But he was talking, being interviewed. And the one who was interviewing asked him, how did you get to where you are to do this? And as he began to talk and use the word pray, I prayed, I prayed, I prayed. By the time he said it about four or five times, I believed that he was telling the truth. But he said as a young person, he began to pray that God would provide people into his life who would need his help. He wanted God to send people to him who needed his help and would ask him for help with their golf game. And then he began by saying, I don't understand people. Like a lawyer who might be at the grocery store one day and someone who has a casual relationship walks up to him and says, I'm working, I need, I'm my will. I need some help with my will. Can you answer a question? And the lawyer will be mad or be disgusted. I don't have time to talk to you. You can call me from 9 to 5 on Monday through Friday, but not on Saturday and not when I'm at Kroger. You have those people. Or someone who might see a doctor and say, I have this pain right here. Can you help me out? I have doctor's appointment. I got hours. You can call me then. He said, I don't understand that. Because I prayed every day that God would allow me to have people who wanted my help because I want to help them. So why would I be angry? Why would I be disappointed? Why would I be anything but happy when someone comes up and asks me for help? My mind starts thinking. How many of us, at some point in our life, prayed to God to deliver us? Or, Lord, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I confess my sins to you. Please forgive me. Deliver me from myself and the demons within me. And with that request, we get something from God, don't we? Why would we not want to tell our story when God has delivered us from something that other people have to deal with on a daily basis? And so he begins to talk this way. And he says, "When it doesn't matter when it is, if somebody walks up to me and asks me something about golf, I don't care if we're in a match and they are my opponent, I will give them an answer. Because I prayed to God that he would provide me people who wanted my help. If I'm playing golf and somebody asks me, I will tell them." He said he was playing in a golf tournament, got to the golf course 2 hours early to hit some golf balls, and while he was going to the practice range, 10 people came up and asked him for help. And I gladly helped them. And then he said something about Jesus. He said, Jesus is the greatest leader of all time. Because Jesus changed time. He changed the way we think of time and dates. He changed the way I think. So I start thinking even more about our stories. Our stories about our faith and how they move us. Because stories are important. That's what the psalmist says. Amen? Our faith stories are important, and you can't have a faith story unless you put a little faith in the Lord. We all have stories. My wife has a story. It's a faith story. It involves her mother. When June was young, her maternal grandmother lived in her neighborhood. Tell me yes. She's my fact checker today. And as her grandmother became older and older, then her mother began to do more and more for her. And as she became more and more frail, she did more and more for her. And as her grandmother was getting to the end of her life, she got to see her mother love her mother. She got to see her mother honor her father and mother, as the Ten Commandments tell us to the point where she understood love like she had never understood it. And I heard that story since we started dating. Was I there when my mother-in-law took care of her mother? No. I know exactly what it looks like, though. Because I saw my wife do it for her mother. Those stories of faith, of someone doing what you're supposed to do, and the stories of faith that guide your life. And I saw and got to witness my wife love her mother just like her mother had loved her mother. Stories of faith. Now, our biggest prayer is that somewhere along the way, our two daughters watch my wife so that one day they will know how to love us. And they will pass that story on down to their generation and the next generation. My family has a story kind of similar to that. My mother was born in 1924. She was the third of four. She had a younger sister who, at a year and a half, their father walked out on all four of the children and his wife to be with his second wife, who he had two children by. He was in the Depression. My grandmother was a single parent, four kids, oldest seven or so. I find out later in life that during the time that all of that was going on, the family was trying to figure out who they could bust up the kids and where they could send them. If there were any distant relatives, they could send them to hither and yon so that they could raise them and provide for them. Think about that as you think about your brothers and sisters. Be busted up, farmed out, maybe not see each other. But my grandmother's father was a policeman, and he had a police pension. And he took his pension and gave it to his daughter so the kids wouldn't have to be broken up. That's a story of faith, a story of caring for those around you, those you love. And when I took part in my mother's three siblings' funerals, I made sure that somewhere in that sermon, I talked about that story so that their children and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren would know the story. Because the story is important. It's how people in faith maybe didn't know how they were going to do it. They didn't know, but they had faith that God would figure out a way to make it happen. And it happened. You can't have a story of faith unless you take a step of faith. 2 weeks ago, I saw on Facebook, this is a Facebook sermon, I just thought I'd let you know, this is a Facebook sermon. I saw where a friend of mine, who used to live over near Washington, Georgia, in East Central Georgia, they had moved back to Texas. I saw where this friend posted that her husband was getting ready to be brought home from the hospital for hospice. This man was probably 52. He had been a pastor. And she was bringing him home for hospice. So I messaged her. She sent me her address. I wanted to write him a letter. We had worked probably five or six walks to Emmaus. We were on the clergy team. I worked with him as the spiritual director. I wanted him to know what he meant to me as someone who is just getting into ministry, as I watched him relate to other men, as I saw him relate to himself to other members of his congregation, as I saw him live out his faith, and how much it meant to me. And so I wrote him this letter, thanking him for allowing me to see his faith. And then yesterday, I got a note back from his wife, who said that she got the letter in time to read it to him. And her prayer was that the Holy Spirit would allow his soul to hear it. And she thanked me for it. My prayer is that my story about her husband and the father of her children will be a story of faith that they can carry with them, of the impact that their father had on other people in sharing the gospel, in loving unconditionally, in being forgiving, and living out that faith. A story that they will tell to grandchildren that have not been born or great-grandchildren that have not been born. So that sometime in their life, when they're facing something hard, they will have the power, they will be inspired, they will be encouraged to maybe take a step of faith like Grandpa did. See, the struggle is, the psalmist said, apparently they were hard-headed, hard-hearted, stubborn people who thought they could do it all on their own. And in the course of doing all that, they had no stories of faith, which affected the next generation. If we have no stories of faith, what are your children going to tell to the next generation? What are they going to tell to your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren? Stories of faith are important. My last story is a long one. On Facebook the other day, a friend of mine who just happened to be 20, 30 years ago the chairperson of the Weekend to Remember that I told you about several weeks ago, he was the chairperson for the whole event. I met him in high school. I played doubles tennis for our tennis team as a junior and senior. He played on the tennis team at Evans. And so I played him four times in 2 years. Didn't like him at all. He had brilliant red hair. We called him Carrot Top. When I get to Georgia Southern, he's one of the first people I see. I mean, I came all the way to Georgia Southern, and I see him? Boy, he just made my day not. Fast forward a few years, I'm invited to this event at the chairperson's house in Augusta, and I said, whose home is it? And they said, Ken Daniel. I said, does he have red hair? Yes. My guess is there were two really surprised people in his house that night. Both of us. Because we were both would be really surprised that he was here at his house and I was there. And I was surprised that he was the chairperson of this event. But Ken and Diane had a two-year-old little girl named Aspen who was Down syndrome. While we were involved in that over a 2 or 3 year period, she was diagnosed with leukemia. And at 4 and a half, she died. The other day when he was making this post, that would have been her 30th birthday. And he told the story, his faith journey, when Aspen was born till that day. He said, like many people probably would have, he had not been around kids, children with Down syndrome. He'd never been, all he knew was what all of us and the world would probably, and the culture would say is, they wanted a perfect little girl. And this little girl was not perfect. And he didn't know how to respond. And so he left. He cried. He prayed. He was angry. He had all these emotions that he probably should not have had or that were not natural to have, but he didn't know what he was getting ready to happen, what was going on. And then he gets to know his little girl, Aspen, and she changed his heart. He loved her dearly. They loved her. God did a miracle within him, and she did a miracle. She was absolutely the most precious little girl, most loving little girl you could ever see or know. She changed them so much that after Aspen died, a couple of years later, they adopted a Down syndrome baby, another little girl. And a few years later, they went to China and adopted a child from China. But he shares a story of how God worked on his heart, how Aspen worked on his heart, changed his heart. And as one who prayed for them and saw, he's telling the story in there. What was interesting for me is that 17 years ago, June's niece, Kim, her and her husband, Chris, Kim had a little girl. And Ellie had Down syndrome. Chris, her husband, did exactly as Ken did. They couldn't find him. The baby was born, and the next thing you know, he disappears. And he's trying to figure out all this, unknown. So I called Ken. Ken, this has happened. Can I give your phone number to June's niece and her husband? Yes. Their story, their faith journey, touched their faith journey. And just like Ken, it didn't take but about 30 seconds for Chris to fall in love with Ellie. And their lives have never been the same. Stories of faith, of putting your faith in God and God doing what God, only God can do. Being able to tell our stories over and over again, and I'm convinced that stewardship, how we deal with everything that God has bestowed upon us, is a way that we get our faith journeys, our faith stories. And the next generation is counting on us to have faith stories that can change their life. When they are in doubt, when they don't know how to do what they need to do and are struggling to figure out how to put one more foot in front of the other, it might be your faith story that helps them. It might be our collective faith stories that help them, that change them, that helps them have their own faith story. And I'm convinced that's the way we today change tomorrow for this church, for our community, and the world. Is taking another step of faith so God can do what only God can do. May we be willing. May we be willing to experience another story in our life of where God has done a miracle. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for those in our past and in the history of the world and the history of Christianity who took a step of faith, put their faith in you, and you delivered them, and then told other people how you did it. We thank you for all the faith stories that got us to where we are today and got us through the things that we struggled with. And Lord God, we pray that when someone in our life crosses our path, that our faith will help them. Lord, we thank you. We praise you for all you do and have done and will do in the future. Amen.